This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
The mindset of an inspired generation. Power 98.7. Now we're talking.
All right, it's 19:34 here on Power Business. Every Tuesday, we get a small business in studio to speak to us about the business. In this case, it will be some partnership and all about being an entrepreneur here in this very challenging landscape. That is not only South Africa. I'm starting to suspect that it's just planet Earth, that if you're trying to build something here, it's going to be a little bit difficult. Joining us this evening are the co-founders of Golden Hour Skincare, Bonolo Machila and Patience Glenn. Good evening, ladies.
Thank you so much for having us. Hi.
I can call you guys ladies, right?
Of course.
Okay, that's important. That's important. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Okay. Do you guys always speak like this?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we sort of have bounce off one another every now and again.
Okay. Talking about bouncing off each other, how do you guys know each other?
We met in varsity.
Okay.
So first year studying an LLB at the University of the Western Cape, and we became really great friends. I think first and foremost, really respected each other's work ethic and dedication to the degree. Mm-hmm. But post-graduation, we were like, let's dedicate our time to something else. And that's where the business started.
Really.
Yeah.
So, Patience, let me get this right. None of you guys are practicing law.
None of us are practicing law.
Let's talk about that decision. What was it? Was it all the cases? What drove you guys away from?
So essentially, I started by practicing law. Mm-hmm. We then realized that, you know, we do have the time to sort of like commit and dedicate our lives to like something we were very passionate about. Mm. And that essentially led us to like starting our venture within Golden Hour Skincare and like just pursuing what we love to do on a daily basis. So that was what led us there.
So let me get this right. You both like skincare a lot.
100%.
Both like it a lot. I had a little bit more of a personal relationship to it.
Let's go.
Because I really struggled with acne for years. Mm-hmm. And I have tried a lot of products on the market. Skincare just as an industry has become really trend driven. Mm-hmm. And it's become a lot like fast fashion. There are all essential yes, products being launched on a daily basis. And so it's become really overwhelming for consumers to navigate the market offerings. Mm-hmm. I was one of those really overwhelmed consumers. And so at the time that we were both aligned on problem solving in a different sphere, that being entrepreneurship from law, it was a really clear area for us to solve a problem in. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Brilliant. I want to speak about then doing business as friends, that's, right? Because, and I want to get both your perspectives, because there's actually an old saying that better a friendship that starts with business than a business that starts with friendship.
Yes.
But of course, this is not always the case. It really is goes on a case by case basis.
For sure.
Patience, tell us about doing business with Bonolo.
So doing business with Bonolo has been a journey, an exciting one, I must say, actually. A lot of people like would encourage like not going into business with your best friend. However, for us, it's been a really, really motivating journey. We've been there for one another, being able to support one another and just seeing things through. The fact that we were both like committed, our work ethic really has shown for it. Over time, we were committed into seeing the vision through, really, really helped anchor our journey. And like just allowed us to like grow and become like who we've become today. So yeah,
I don't want her to over romanticize.
Yes, let's talk about that.
I do want to say that there's very specific friends that you can go into business with. Mm-hmm. Business requires work; it's not fun. Mm-hmm. And so, at the end of the day, you need people that are accountable, that are transparent, that are honest. And I think we appreciated that in one another before a business was ever in the picture, that it was easy to transfer that same appreciation into a business. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I want to talk about deciding that it would be Golden Hour Skincare. And the name, let's talk about the name. The day you guys decided that's the name, what was happening?
There were a lot of names. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people think you're like laying in your bed and then you're like, wake up one day and you're like, this is the name.
Yes. Yes.
In reality, you go on CIPC's website and you type in a couple of names. They're like, no taken. Taken. No taken. No taken. But we were able to settle on something that was still really sentimental to us. Sure. We both met each other in Cape Town. Cape Town has the most gorgeous sunsets. Mm-hmm. And Golden Hour is known as a time where the sun is settling deliciously on the horizon, mm-hmm. and the golden hues that are being radiated on your skin just make your skin look absolutely flawless. Mm-hmm. For the melanated skins, it just enhances and celebrates that melanin. And we really want our products to encourage the same appreciation mm-hmm. for your skin, and to exude the same radiance in your mm-hmm. skin that lasts long before or long more than just 1 hour.
For sure.
Yeah. With that said, I want to talk about then developing the products, because that's really the tricky part, right? Having an idea is fun. Even getting a name and the logo, that stuff is pretty okay. But mm-hmm. then you actually have to find the products. You have to find the right products. They have to do what you said they're going to do. They have to be tested. They have to be packaged. Yes. That is where the hard work begins. And I think that's possibly the less fun aspect of
sure.
it.
Absolutely.
You know, and I know that because I've been in the skincare game before and my business tanked. So I was just like, I hate this formulation business. So I want to speak about that. I want to speak about, really putting together the products, really sure. finding out which direction you could take it. You could have gone organic, and you could have many directions you also could have taken where skin yes. care is concerned.
So myself and Brunello were really concerned about like sustainability and wanting to outsource like cruelty-free, making the product also gender neutral, mm-hmm. Allowing like a wider audience to have access to the product. And in the beginning, like I must say, we really just didn't know where to start. So our starting point was mainly research. So we researched where to get chemists, where to find people that we were able to work with at the time. Initially, we didn't have any like funding or any of that. So we had to sort of like fund everything from our own pockets.
Wonderful.
So that was very difficult because at the time we were students, didn't have jobs. Like we literally just finished varsity. Like mm-hmm. it really was, we had nothing. Mm-hmm. And so we had to go out, try and partner with people, get relationships, build them, and like get people who would be willing to work with us in terms of the formulation process. And once we were able to establish those people, it then became like a really good partnership, and we were able to like work along the journey and like walk the road with those people as
100%.
Well. So yeah.
How do you convince people to back you and your idea? I mean, it's a real thing that entrepreneurs need to be able to do. Many people can be like, these girls, you know what I'm saying? People can, and they really can dismiss you. Your lawyers, so it's like, you know, if they like skincare, 100%. So you have to be able to get them to take you seriously. You must get your story straight. And then you need to convince them to journey with you. And I think these are real skills that might be taken for granted.
100%. I think for me, I would attribute that to clarity. Mm-hmm. So particularly in our industry, it's incredibly oversaturated. There are a lot of players. And to your point, there are a lot of differentiating factors you can take. You could be vegan, organic. Mm-hmm. You could work in the mass market. There's lots of stances to take. But I think we had a really clear problem to solve. And that was that people are experiencing overwhelm mm-hmm. in navigating the product and market offering. So skincare and selecting your product should be intuitive.
Yes.
When you look in the mirror, you can tell, I have a pimple mm-hmm. or my skin is dry.
Yes.
And matching that problem to a solution should be just as intuitive. Mm-hmm. This is a product for me. And there was a gap for consumers in being able to intuitively solve for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that we identified. And by being able to communicate that effectively, we were able to find people that one, resonated with the solution we're trying to create, but secondly, who you're trying to create it for. And I think there's also something to be said for young Black female entrepreneurs. I'll go out on a limb and say I think we're a little bit of underdogs on the entrepreneurial landscape. And I think there's also a lot of people, more than you'd think, that want to back people that look like us.
Yeah.
I want to speak about that. I want to stay with that issue of, being a Black woman entrepreneur, being young as well, because the consistent messaging is that we're at the bottom of the food chain.
100%.
So nobody wants to put money behind us. Nobody wants to put time behind us. Or they'll tell us that we're over-mentored, underfunded.
100%.
Yeah. Right? So I want to speak about the reality, what your experience has been. What are you seeing out there, patients? I think we'll get from both of you, patients. Maybe let's go with you first.
Okay. So in terms of being like, there really is limited funding that's available to just Black people in general. Yeah. And it makes it very difficult for Black female entrepreneurs, worse so. But, you know, having the experience with Bonolo, there were people who were willing to sort of like help us. And that's why we reached out to people such as like your Pathways, who are our main investors, who invested into us and they believed in our vision and were able to like see us through up until this point where we are now. And we really are grateful for them, because had it not been for them, our business would not be here today as it is.
I'm going to elaborate on that one.
Yeah, definitely. I think there definitely is a funding discrepancy, as you've explained. And I think it hurts entrepreneurs just as much as it hurts other people. And I think the trick is in finding people who feel offended by that just as much as you do.
Love that. Yeah.
And so they're probably the people that will plug their expertise, they'll plug their services. But I think we also had to learn very early on that we need to be able to back ourselves first.
For sure.
Before we're looking to other people to believe in us. Mm-hmm. So sure, you have this incredible idea and it's going to be transformative in your industry. But how much do you believe in it? Do you believe in it enough to put your own resources, as little as they might be? It might be R1,000, it could be R100, and it might be the only 1,000 or 100 rand that you have. But are you passionate and you believe in it enough to put your own resources into that? And I think when you then look to a broader audience for support, your own self-belief will I think drive them to want to throw their hat into the ring.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the range now. So what's in the range, and then what kind of products have you managed to formulate?
Okay, so currently we actually have an acne and blemish kit. And our acne and blemish kit consists of a cleanser, a serum, a day and night cream, and then we also have a sunscreen that's available. But we're in the process of actually introducing a couple of new products which we are exceptionally excited about, and we cannot wait to share all of that with everyone.
And when you're trying to decide which way you can go, because like you said, you've got the acne and blemish kit, you know, you could, like, it's because it's so broad, you could have gone in any direction. Why did you guys choose to focus on acne and blemishes? Was it based on also your experience, Bonolo, and also realizing that that's also where a lot of anxiety is for lots of people?
Definitely that. I think my experience helped. It helped us to empathize a lot with the consumer, but to something that patients raised earlier was research. And through that research, we learned that I'm not like a dime a dozen. There are a lot of people that are struggling with acne, and it's actually the main skin concern that's being suffered in our country. And I think just African skins being more oily than not, it's a really prominent skincare concern. So being lawyers, we like to be really conservative. And I think the research helps us with that, that we're guided by data and we try to interact with as much people as possible to understand what are you suffering from, what's a concern from you. You're using products, but why are you not 100% in love with them? What's missing? And that really guides our product development.
Let's talk about selling, because that's another important part of being an entrepreneur. And of course, it does. The market is out there. You know, the faces are out there. Yes. Everybody's got one.
Yeah.
But of course, then you have to convince people that that they should use your products for their face. Of course, the face is a sensitive place.
Yes.
So it really does take quite a bit of convincing. Like Nolo would have said, lots of competitors, lots of options. Sure. But there is room for a golden hour. And I want to know about then putting that out to the market.
Okay, so when myself and Bonolo first launched the product, we were so convinced that people would come running to our doors, knocking and being like, yes, please give us some golden hour products. And to our surprise, that was not the case. So we went through multiple reiterations of the brand, of the product, trying to position the product in the right place. And eventually what we introduced was a sample kit. Our sample kit was meant to be like a promotion era, like a phase out approach period, just to give people like access to the products at a more like accessible price, and, you know, just give them the opportunity to trial the product for the first time. We've now introduced the product permanently because people actually leaned more towards that product, just the offering, and it was more accessible. So yeah, that was our experience, just to start off with.
I think just piggybacking off patience, especially in our economic climate.
Yeah.
We do not have the disposable income to be gambling with the little money that we have. Mm-hmm. And people want to be confident in the brands that they're supporting, in the products that they're buying. And so being able to offer a low-cost, low-risk offering that allows people to get a sense of whether or not the product works and how it interacts with their skin personally was really meaningful. And then I think touching on a sustainability element, overconsumption is something that we're seeing a lot. So if I had to walk into most of South Africans' bathrooms, I'd find a lot of half-used, maybe barely used products. And I think it illuminated for us a gap in being able to reduce overconsumption, but not at the business's harm. So being able to give people a chance to have an experience with the product, interact with it, but not have to commit to it on first purchase. And that's resonated with a lot of our customers.
And it's very interesting because I think one thing that's very clear to me is that you guys are very aware of what's also happening around you, the macros, the economic environment, but also, of course, within your sector. I want to speak about the issue of self-funding. Because, like I said, there's good. I mean, I'm sure you could be at the time where just more money would help.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Lots of more money would really make a lot of things easier.
Always.
But there really is a time when you are trying to bootstrap. You're trying to really put money in there. You could be borrowing from friends, fools, and family. All of it, it is an important part of it. Like Bonolo would have mentioned, it's skin in the game. It's how you tell people that I believe in this idea here. But I want to speak about being fresh out of varsity. In an entry-level job, so I assume that you were doing articles if you were working, or it could have been pupillage worse, but it was articles, and that tells me that there wasn't a lot of money to go around for the business, but you guys had to make it work.
For sure.
What are some of the concessions, sacrifices that have to be made to make sure that it does come to fruition?
So myself and Brunola actually made a little bit of a pact and a commitment that we would be investing into a joint account. Like every month we would invest about like 500 rand. Eventually we raised up to 30,000 rand, which essentially helped us like get like the product ready. Like what we did was we got the product ready, we got the packaging ready for the products, and what was left was basically the testing phase. So now we had a product that was ready to be sold but hadn't been tested, so we couldn't get it into the hands of the consumers. And because of our backgrounds and like being legal people, we were very, very scared to have to like take the risk on selling the product without it being tested, just in case something happens. And so like it was very, very difficult, but we saw our pack through, and we managed thereafter to then approach different people for funding, and we secured.
I love that. Yeah. I really love that. And I love the fact that it was 500 rand. Because people are just like, I know 50,000. Well, you don't need 50,000. Yeah. If you have some 500 rand, you can put it away for long enough and really make it work for yourself.
I mean, you're going to need that 50,000 inevitably.
Have you guys put out funding requests for funding? How is that going? Because capital raising is hard, and it's hard whether you're in tech, whether you earn skincare. It doesn't matter what you're doing. I said on the planet. Like, I think you could even be in the US where there's lots of VCs, lots of private equity firms. Mm-hmm. It would still be a difficult thing for an entrepreneur.
100%. I think for us, we learned not ahead of time. So this is the value of retrospect. Mm-hmm. Understanding the mandate of each funder.
Sure.
So each funder has got a mandate to meet. When they're dispensing with money, there's an objective that they're trying to achieve. And so through going through the application process, we became clear with which kinds of funders we're trying to approach based off what their mandates are. And these are things that are accessible on Google. And engaging with them, having a phone call. Who do you fund? What kind of elements do you want to see in their business? What kind of founders do you want to see? How many people do you want to be in the team? Must it be pre-revenue, post-revenue? So I think that's really helpful. I think touching back on self-funding, because I think that's a really important thing. A lot of entrepreneurs feel really despaired in that process. It's really tough. What we learned, though, was that self-funding doesn't need to always be monetary. So we designed our own logo. We designed our own packaging. We ran our own marketing. So a lot of the visual components of our brand, we do ourselves. And so I think you need to think about like, from what expertise I have, maybe formally through education, what can I contribute in kind to the business? What can I learn? that I can also contribute to the business. Okay. And then you don't want to cheapskate on things that are really essential. So yes. Product development is something that we never, ever lowball on. We produce really high quality skincare mm-hmm. products, and that's really essential for us. So we weren't going to like sit in our mother's kitchens and like start mixing things we don't know. Mm-hmm. And that was important for us to outsource. Mm-hmm. But even then, building relationships with patients is point. How can we reach maybe payment arrangements mm-hmm. With suppliers for or sure. partners? And use those different methods to keep you moving along totally. Without getting your business or your idea to a standstill.
For sure.
I want to speak about mentorship just also having the right people around you. Of course, you have each other, which really helps. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you have each other and that's not the best thing, right? It helps to have somebody outside the business who doesn't see a golden hour as their baby, yes. Right? Because I can tell that it is your baby. Yeah. So I want to speak about that also and being surrounded by people who will boost your confidence, who you can come and ask for advice for, who might even mediate if you're thinking something should go one way and somebody else should go another. Who have those people been and how important is it to make sure that you are keeping those relationships going as well?
Okay. So for first and foremost, myself and Runola actually went through a number of like programs.
Mm, love that.
Some which were helpful, others which were not. Mm-hmm. Very helpful. But I must say along the way, we were open to receiving as much information or as much learning as we potentially could have. And for me personally, I want to say that my personal mentor has always been like my dad. I've definitely looked up to him within the entrepreneurial journey. He's been someone who's inspired me along the way, given me advice along the way, and really like challenged me in trying to build the business, which has been very, very helpful. And some of those qualities I've really, really brought with me into the business, and it's really, really helped and showed up for us in multiple ways that we never thought they could have. So, yeah.
I love that. In the home, are you, Bnola?
Yeah, I think touching on the programs,
for sure.
I think there are a lot of programs, and this is the point on being over-mentored.
Sure.
There still is value in that.
Yeah.
So I think just being coachable, so not being too precious over your idea, having or creating the room for people to say, I don't think that's a good idea. Well, I think you need to think on that a little bit more. Can only do you more good than bad. And I think that's when you start developing your intuition as an entrepreneur around which advice you take and which kinds of advice you don't take. But I would advise any entrepreneurs to sign up for as many programs as possible. I think the one incentive that we identified was that there always is some form of like cash prize or stipend at the end of those programs. So you try to put your best foot forward, because any one rand goes a long way in building a business. Mm-hmm. And so if you have to build the 10th business model canvas, just build it. Yeah. Send through the old one.
You really can build 10.
Yeah, you can. But if it means that you have a little bit more of a chance to gain some funding, which gives you more runway, do that. And all those programs, I think, cumulatively get you to the point of investor readiness. So you've had people scrutinize your ideas and fresh people from every perspective until you can go to the big boys and say, hi, I'd like some money, which is where we've landed up very thankfully.
I love that.
And that's been really helpful. So now we have a steady mentor. And I think it's also difficult when you're going through programs, having different people coming to you with different opinions, to have a roadmap with one person and saying, or a couple people, a team, and saying, this is where we envision the business going, and holding one another accountable to that, bringing issues forward and saying, how do we resolve these kinds of things? So it's a journey. I wouldn't say there's one right way to do it, but trying your best, I think, is the best you can do.
So guys, what does success look like, patients?
I think for us, we really, really want to have a dominant presence within the African continent. That's what success really, really looks like. We want to partner with as much like retail partners as we potentially can, mainly to enter into your Dischem and Clicks. Mm. But yeah, just having a strong presence within the African continent is what success looks like for us.
Yeah. And for your partnership, you want to elaborate on that. And even your partnership, what do a success for your partnership will look like?
For sure.
I think success for our partnership is creating meaningful challenges and employment for one another. So I'd love 10 years from now for Golden Hour to still feel like a platform of growth. Mm-hmm. And something really exciting to wake up to every day, not something that feels like a headache. But I think for our country, especially in our current climate, employment is a really, really big issue. But not just employment, but meaningful employment. Mm. So being able to be at your job and be focused on your job and not think about how am I meeting my other needs outside of this job because my job's not making the cut.
Yeah.
And so meaningful employment is really important for us. And I think lastly, not adding to the noise in our industry, and we hold one another accountable to that. Sure. So we don't just want to have products that are sprinkled everywhere, yeah, but we want to make a difference to our consumers. Help them boost confidence in their skin and make a difference in their journey, a meaningful sure. one. So, yeah.
Sure. Now, where can people find the product? If people want to see, buy, you know, have a look, learn more, where can they do that?
Okay, so we've got our Instagram, which is at Golden Hour Skin ZA. And then you can also access us on Take A Lot. We're also on the local edits as well. We're in conversation with Egg.
Yeah, love that. Fingers crossed.
But yeah, you can definitely find us on those platforms.
And then, of course, our website,
for sure.
Which is goldenhourskin.co.za. But we're accessible on all social media platforms. And we're not picky, so send us a WhatsApp, send us an Instagram. We'd love to hear and see selfies. People send us a lot of selfies, like, this is my skin, what do you think I should be using?
That's not good at all.
Yeah. And we really care about making sure that we can make a difference. So yeah, please do get in touch with us. We'd love to get in touch with you.
Well, guys, I back you.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I'm quite back you. And I'm actually quite keen to watch your journey unfold there. And of course, we'll make sure that we tag Golden Hour Skincare on our social media platform so that you can have a look, have a taste at the product. We're not on patience. Really rooting for you guys. Thanks for being here today.
Really rooting for you. And thank you for having us.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Thank you.
That was Patience Gunene and Bonolo Machila, the co-founders of Golden Hour Skincare.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.